you're on.
Well, God bless you. So great to see each one of you arrive. And you know, we just had so much in our hearts about the weekend and looking forward to an intimate time together. And I really believe that this is just going to be a greatest time that beloved ones have had getting together to date. It's going to be historical. And certainly we want every occasion when we get together to be historical for our hearts. And I'm just going to share. I didn't bring up a Bible, but our desire is to kind of take the things that we know. We know our Bibles. And figure out what it looks like when I put it on. You know, we get dressed and we look in the mirror and we run change clothes. But, you know, we want to take these things that we know and we're starting to really understand and comprehend and just fine-tune them a little more so that we see power in our life. And as Larry, you know, it's no secret what his favorite verse is, that 1 John 4:16a, you know, we want to live like children whom God loves. And for us, that's not just a banner. It's not just a mantra. It really is something we wake up every morning desiring to tap into more, because there is so much available and God wants us to have it. I was thinking when Gil said, God is watching. Yes, like a mother or a father would watch their children as they stand by the waiting for the bus, or, you know, he wants to watch us so he can take care of us. He wants to watch us so that for all the good, for all the love, for all the wonderful reasons, that all relate to blessings. You know, Larry and I, we really have humor at the center of our marriage. I think it's a great bond. At least it was work for us. But we have always said since the get-go that, well, let's don't ask anybody in our ministry to do something that we haven't done. You know, let's don't ask anybody to believe something that we don't semi-understand, at least. I mean, we all grow. We're all in this together. But the point is, we didn't want to teach something, have everybody else go out and do it, and then we're sitting there wondering, boy, they really took off. Why are we at the end of the line, so to speak? So we kind of went into it with an attitude, we're going to prove God's promises. We are going to prove God's promises. And if for some reason they don't work, shouldn't we be the first to know? You know? And then we'll just abandon the ministry and we'll look for something that does work. But of course, that's the humorous part, because we knew that that wouldn't be the case. So Larry has also really worked. Even before we got married, he would say, you do something or you say something, and then after it's all said and done, don't look for verses to hook your actions or your thoughts upon. He said, that's backwards. And I used to do that. I would just spontaneously do something and think, oh, there's that verse. He would say, let's flip-flop that. Let's think. Be deliberate in your thought and then do the action. But don't look to the word to be a coat hook for your thoughts and actions. You know, have the word be the what holds your thoughts and actions up. Do you remember telling me that?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, he loves that citing life, citing the things that we do, S-I-G-H-T-I-N-G, you know, citing. From the benchmarks of truth. So we, of course, one truth is, everybody knows this, God is love. Well, that's a truth. That's a good thing to think. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He forgives our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. and he remembers them no more. Boy, that is a cannonball of truth to blow our enemy away. And so verses like these, there's many, many more that are in our teachings and among our fellowships and our communications with one another, but these verses, they kind of became our benchmarks for truth. And as I like to call it, they tether me. They tether me and keep me that I don't wander too far away in my thinking. And these scriptures have really called a halt to devilish ideas that are contrary to God is love and God is light, where, you know, we somehow in our thinking when we're in social situations, we see that God gets credit for just a little smidgen of bad along the way. Well, these clear verses keep us tethered not to take that home with us. If they want to believe it, that's one thing, but we are going to stay tethered. And you know, God says his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And it is easy to get off the path. It is easy for any one of us to get close to the edge or get over in the poison oak or whatever's out there at the side of the path. But we get back on by sighting through those benchmarks of truth. So we keep those close. We keep tethered. And you know, it is true, we're a couple, we have the joy of going through life together, but even with that said, it is Larry and God, and it is Connie and God. He can't live it for me, and I can't live it for him. Now, can we be a catalyst for each other and bless each other and help each other along the way? Certainly, as we would do among any of our brethren. But all you can control is yourself, so take that seriously. We just take that seriously. We encourage one another, but then we realize if he might say to me, if you are unwilling to change your mind, then there's very little I can do until you're ready for it to change your mind. And that is the way it is. So it is our individual relationships with God. So along the weekend as we go, that's our focus. That's our focus. It's not us and the world and God. It's me and God. How can I bring forth more fruit of God's word believed? How can I live more like the child God has paid so much for that I could live? You know, you observe the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He declared the Father. So no matter what people say about the Father, it can be verified by remembering his life, by looking at what he did, how he behaved himself. Sometimes we even look at what he didn't do or what he didn't say. Sometimes he just refrained from even becoming involved. Take note of what, and these are just some of the things that we have done to endeavor to kind of tune up our lives and be more courageous, be less fearful, be more powerful. And one thing is taking note of what Jesus said and did. He spoke to the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." He spoke to the devil. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He said to Satan, "Get thee behind me." And he said to evil spirits, "Come out of him." He said to a mother, "Go thy way, thy child liveth." He said to Lazarus, "Come forth." Those are things Jesus said. I mean, that's impacting. That's what we want to focus on. You know, that's what we want to hold close. That's what we want to rule in our minds. And really, and I know each one of you share this, and especially as we continue to grow in our understanding of just how good God is, nothing is more heart-wrenching than we recently went to see that movie, God Is Not Dead. And oh, it was bouncing along real nice. And then, oh my gosh, it's just heart-wrenching to hear people who are so afflicted, so miserable, cry out, God, why did you do this? Why did you let this happen? I mean, that just breaks my heart, doesn't it, you? Because you just want to sit them down and say, oh my gosh, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's available. Sometimes it's not. But so, you know, if we motivate ourselves with God's love to live like that, wow, to really endeavor just thought by thought, it's not difficult, is it? It even sounds simple. And it really is, because it's just me. Things get complicated when a lot of things get in the mix. But if you're just in your house by yourself, things are really simple. You don't have anything else to think about but what you're doing, what you're thinking. And then when someone else comes in the room, it's now double. You've got to think a little extra. So, you know, it is simple. But as we motivate ourselves with God's love to live like Christ, to live like that, to think like he did, then at least our lives will change as individuals to live more like children whom God loves. And really, these are kind of the goals that Beloved of God Ministry has. It's certainly our hearts. And, you know, I've really endeavored to make myself subject to Larry's ministry. I love the word that he teaches, and I just decided I am going to really try to put this stuff together. I am going to track. I'm going to keep on track. He makes it simple, because if you haven't figured it out by now, and I know you have, he likes series. He likes the weekly series. So it is real easy to carry along from one week to the next. And I have so personally benefited from sitting under his ministry. I mean, he's my husband, he's my friend, but he is also my spiritual leader. And I really am so blessed to hear all that he teaches me each week about living more like a child whom God loves. So Gil prayed in the back before we started that we would draw near to God this weekend, that each of us would draw near. And I thought, amen. There's not a better way to say it than that. So thanks for joining us, and we sure love you, and be great. Do you have anything to add or subtract?
It really is our thinking that this weekend would be your weekend. I'm not going to give you a lot of new teachings and new perspectives and all that. I want to remind you of some perspectives that you already know and encourage you to practice those things, because you have been taught so much truth. You have been instructed in the right way to go. And I want to give you some time to do it. I know life gets moving and gets your life moving along with it. And you think, I need to take time to do this. And you never quite get to that place. So we wanted to keep the teachings to a minimum and allow you more time to think about things, more time to talk things over with the Father. Really get stuff off of your heart, get stuff off of your head. And then allow God to direct your steps, because it is our great desire for you to live the life that Jesus Christ came to make available, which is a life that is more than abundant. That means it's above the ordinary measure. You know, they have a problem with one percenters. I think we're way above that. But because we are to live life above the ordinary measure, life in all of its fullness. And I desire that for you, and I know that that is something you desire for yourself, but we haven't quite got around to putting it all together. We're realizing that is me, that is for me, that's what I'm supposed to have, and I am going to lock down on my relationship with my Heavenly Father and assure myself of the promises of God, that I will inculcate all of them into my life, and I'm going to make a great change in my life. It may not be involve changing jobs. It may not involve changing relationships. It may not involve in a lot of other things. But God is so loving, so kind, and so personal. He can do mighty, mighty things, and we should be aware of it and have that for our lives. So thank you, sweetie. I appreciate your sharing, and I'll get in here, and we'll move on with a few things. You know, I was thinking, as Gil was sharing, the people that want to debate God, you can debate God anytime you want. Get out there, and he's all over the place, so get out there, tell him what you want, and tell him you don't think he exists. Tell him to whatever you want to tell him. He's wide open, and he listens. But I can't debate God for God with someone. That's something that they need to debate. I can't prove God for someone. I can prove him for myself, and I already have. That's why I believe what I believe. Because I've proved God. And as Gil was sharing, the only way the gentleman is going to really prove there is a God is he's going to have to prove it to himself. I don't need to be convinced. I'm already there. That's something apparently he needs for his life. But I want to set for you, because beloved of God, I think it's on a different course for believing people. And what I mean by that is I am not really concerned with the corporate side of beloved of God. Let me just change that. I have to handle corporate responsibilities. I have to make sure that our CPA gets the information that he needs for taxes and all of that kind of stuff. But I am not trying to win anybody to our corporation. What I want is people's hearts, the beloved ones, to be turned toward God in a very intimate way. Not that it hasn't been toward God, but I want them to realize the intimacy that they may enjoy daily with our Heavenly Father. I want to help people not by building a ministry, but utilizing the ministry God has gifted me to utilize in order to build the beloved. I want to see Beloved of God Ministries be a group where men and women who have ministries are not building a ministry, but are building beloved ones, that are building believing ones in their hearts and in their lives. There are lots of ministries around. I don't believe, which I did at one time, and it took a great deal of rethinking all of these things, but I don't believe Beloved of God is the ministry to the world for this day and time. I just believe we're a ministry, and I believe God has shared some things with my heart to express to other people that they might enjoy a tender, loving, wonderful relationship with our Father. And every believer, every born-again believer, it's their Father, so I'm willing to share with whoever wants to know. But I don't think that, you know, we're the one. You know, we're not Israel. That was Old Testament. Take the veil off. They had a very specific responsibility. It was Israel and the Gentiles. I understand that. But I don't think that is that way now. I believe it's sons of God and unbelievers. And that's about, you know, about the size of it. I'm not Now, do I want to see this, like this property? We have to take care of it. We need finances to take care of it and things of that nature. And I'm blessed to do that. And other people are blessed to do that too. And other people are blessed to share with us. God recognizes that. And I think that's right and proper because we're a family and we believe that this is a place where God's word is held forth, as well as, you know, other places. I'm not opposed, and I don't stand in opposition to other ministries. I'm just so focused on what I need to do, and I allow the other ministries to do what they need to do. And where they rightly divide the word will have the truth in that category, and where they wrongly divide the word, we won't have the truth in that category. I'm not selling my personality. Good thing. But what I'm very interested in is that the believing one, the beloved, the child of God, in his or her relationship with our Father, enjoys a very intimate and a very loving and a very supporting way. I think every beloved one, every believer, every born-again Christian has the responsibility to disciple themselves to God's word. All I can do is encourage you. But the scriptures, Jesus told the disciples, "Go ye." And ye is you in the plural in this particular case. Go ye, in other words, all of you. He was speaking to all of them. Go ye, you in the plural, all of you have a responsibility into all the world. Well, I can only be in one place at one time. So wherever I am, that's where I'm going to be, and I'm going to carry that word. I am going to be a living witness and a living testimony of God's love, God's grace, and people who have eyes to see are going to see it, and people who don't want to see it, there's nothing I can do that would make them want to see it. You know, the adversary has blinded the minds of them that believe not. The scripture says unto me, be ye witnesses unto me. So I need to be a witness wherever I go. And I am so thankful and so proud to be a child of God. And I enjoy living like a child of God, and no one's going to stop me. But be a witness with your whole life. As Paul told the Corinthians, you know, ye are our epistles, known and written of all men, with the word written on the fleshly tables of your heart. It's every category of life. It's not just this aspect on Saturday or Sunday or whatever the week it is, or when I decide I'm going to go witnessing. You are a witness. And the more, I think the more that your relationship, excuse me, I think the more our relationships with Father becomes tender and intimate, it will show more and more in every category of life. But I don't allow people's responses to determine whether I think I've done a good job or not. Or a lack of response. But wherever you are, by the way that you believe the word of God, you can be a witness for God. Remember the words, spiritual weakness and inability is due to two things: wrong teaching and ignorance. Exactly. I believe that those words are true. And it can be corrected by right teaching and instruction. I think we've all heard that, except perhaps John, that was a few years back. But I'm sure you probably have heard it before. I'm not sharing anything new. I believe that's the truth. But let me ask you a question. How often do you eat? I do every day. As a matter of fact, I do a couple of times a day. As a matter of fact, maybe even a few times a day. As a matter of fact, the point I'm getting at is, do you honestly believe that you can live more abundantly on the diet that you are currently on? That's just an honest question. And I don't mean it in a negative way, but again, to encourage you, as my brethren, as those who share our Father together, and His words. And His words are for the things pertaining to life and godliness, and that's life, you know, period. Are you getting enough nourishment? Because in some cases, I guess people barely keep up with the weekly teaching. And I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough for you, but you don't need to be spoon-fed every day, necessarily. You're old enough to eat. You're old enough to, to prepare a meal for yourself. You've been around. Look, think about it. How much of your life you have invested in seeking God? I want you to enjoy the fruitfulness of your search, of your seeking. As a matter of fact, I wanted to tell you, you have found it. And I want you to have it more intimately and more enjoyable and more tenderly than you've had it in previous years. That's why I want you to take the time. Like I say, I'm not going to share a whole bunch of new things with you. But, you know, when we bought this property... I really believe that, our home and the chapel, that it would be a place where people could come. I know God is every place. I'm thankful because I'm not always here. but I want you to take the opportunity because it is a nice setting and so forth. On our grounds, you know, at our house, there's benches, there's chairs around. There's so many places you can go. And sit under the shade of a tree. If you want to move a chair, I don't care. You want to break up a little setting that's out there, go ahead. What I want you to do is have your intimate time with the Father so that when you leave, you're leaving knowing that the Father is present within you and you've got some things worked out together. And you've got some direction for your life. Whether it's secular, it doesn't matter to me. But most of all, I want you that you have things worked out for your life spiritually. when Solomon built the temple, he knew God doesn't dwell in temples made with men's hands. He already knew that. So did David. They both knew it. But he asked God, said, God, in this place, when the people come and pray and they ask you, meet them here. So I wanted a contact point, if nothing else, at least one somewhere where people could come and they could just sit there and talk things over with the Father or just lay their burden down, whatever it is. But walk away free, upright as a son of God, completely unashamed and thankful to be a child of God. That's kind of what we were thinking. And, you know, we've endeavored a few times in our meetings, but I don't think we've really taken advantage of what is available. And perhaps, and I'll take the blame for that I haven't explained what I thought, what I prayed for, and what I believe God answered. And like I say, it doesn't mean that you pray at home and God doesn't hear you. You have to come here. But no, but while you're here and we're spending time really working the word together, that you would so gel those truths in your heart that when you went home, you would look in the word and you'd say, "Oh, I just thought of that. You know, I put that together with something you said, and write me back so we have more to share with other people." See, I count on you. I think every one of you are an elder in the church. And we have so much we need to share. So much we need to help one another understand or at least bless one another. And so that's what I was seeing in this. But I think, you know, the first time you go to a smorgasbord and you see the buffet table there and you just go, "Holy mackerel, look at all this stuff." And then you fill up on, you know, you go over and they say, "Oh, there's king crab legs," you know, and you put them there and I'm not going to have anything but king crab legs. And then you go home and you say, "Well, those king crab, I can't wait till we go back and have those king crab legs again, but I also want the oysters Rockefeller because I passed that by and I was too full of king crab legs to even taste the oysters Rockefeller, but I bet you that was good." And we left so much at the buffet. I want you to fill your plate. I want you to fill your plate with God's goodness, God's love, God's promises, the richness of life he really desires for us because it is above the ordinary measure. And you have a seat at the table because he's called you there. And he will lay it out for you, even beyond what I could explain. Praise the Lord. So much of life and the word is really beyond explanation. I've tried to help you to understand this. Do I believe the Bible is God's word? Absolutely. And I know we've heard the word, the word, the word, and nothing but the word, but there's things no language could explain to you. No matter how hard I tried, no matter what language I spoke, you know, if we took every dictionary in the entire world that's ever been, we wouldn't find enough words to express how wonderful and great God is. That's why what Gil said is so right for that gentleman. Boy, if he would just try it, because I don't have the words to prove God to you. But I'll tell you what, if you try this, you will know there is a God. You still may not be able to explain it to anybody. That's okay, but you'll know. Because every fiber of your being is so fulfilled. Every fiber of your being is saturated with the truth, with the joy, with the blessings. You know, we can argue whether homosexuals should get married or shouldn't get married. I just know they are not going to have the blessing of what God intended for marriage, because you need God in Christ in you, and you need it functioning for you to enjoy those things you can't even express, that no words could express. What he does is, these are man's words. These aren't really God's words. These are man's words. He's using these words it's kind of like this. You know, it's sort of like this. But it is so much bigger, and it does involve feeling. Now, I tend to try and shy away from feeling. I tend to try and shy away from getting people emotional because I want to get to the truth. But let me tell you, there is so much feeling and there's so much energy and there is so much emotion in the Word of God that words will never be able to fully express them. You're just going to have to enjoy them. And I desire for that for you and for your families. I desire that for myself. You know, I want the blessing that God really intended for Adam when he said, "The man should not be alone." or it, excuse me, it's not good for the man to be alone. And so he made a helpmeet. My wife does an excellent job, and so much of what she does, I can't express to you in words, you know, because it's so much bigger than that. But I know there's more, and there is more, and there is even more than that. And every time I get to a lookout point, and I look out and I say, oh my goodness, look how vast that is, I take another two steps and I say, holy cow, look how vast that is. But it's moving our hearts in the direction of what we believe. Our thoughts and speech affect the confessions of our hearts, and our hearts determine what we manifest in regard to the more abundant life. If you go with me to Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Attend to my words. That doesn't mean be in attendance. It means attend to my word. Go to it. Let it, you know, let the richness of it dwell in you. Attend to my words. Keep it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. And, you know, let it not, you know, we've heard in the manifestations, look neither to the left hand nor to the right. Let it not depart from thine eyes. It, you know what it means? It means it can depart. You know, it means don't let it, but it also puts the obvious there that it can. And I know that you don't deliberately not read the scripture, but you can get so caught up in life, so caught up in work, and so caught up in schedules and all this other stuff that you let it depart. God can't force you to read it. He won't. God can't force you to think about it. You have to decide that that's what you're going to do. See, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know who has to keep it there? You do. You really do. And again, it's so easy to get caught up in the world with the argument for this and the argument for that and this thing and that thing and all these worldly things, but it won't keep it in the midst of your heart. You will have to do it. It says, verse 22, for, and the reason is they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You know what he means? It's health to all your flesh. It's health to all your flesh. We talk about healing. We want people to minister to us and all that. But the scriptures tell us that if we keep this word in the midst of our heart, it is life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. If it didn't take diligence, God wouldn't have put that word in there. You have to be diligent to do that. Now, don't spend your life apologizing to God because you missed it. And I forgot today. Don't spend your life apologizing. Just get yourself to it. And when you miss it, you miss it. But get yourself, every time you miss it, just get your thoughts to, I'm getting myself to it. I'm going to go to it. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it
are the issues of life. And what kind of life? A more abundant life. See, a lot of times we cannot in agreement and point out the areas where we have fallen short. But do you know how to get back on? Pointing out and recognizing that you fell short is okay, I guess. But if you didn't get back on, what good did it do you? See, people talk about, I learned from my mistakes. Well, if you don't get back on, what did you learn? I made a mistake. All right. I used to say, change what you think and you will change what you believe. But I think it's more than that. I think it is more in change the way you think. Change the way that you think. Or change how you think. If you change how you think, you can change your heart. And if you change your heart, you will change what you believe. And if you change what you believe, you will effectively change your life. So if there are areas where you desire to make a change in your life, first start with change what you think. Change how you think about it. Then that will change your heart. And if your heart, that will change your heart. And if your heart changes, then what you believe will change. And if what you believe changes, your life will definitely change. Or you can change the outcome of your life. Change how you think about it. For instance, in relationships. You're in a married situation. You've married someone. Perhaps you have altered or diluted your confession regarding your spouse. You know, when I met Connie, the way I spoke about her, she was the greatest woman in the face of the earth, you know. In my thoughts, in my confession, in the evidence, as far as I was concerned, she was the most ideal woman for me. There's a saying in our culture, familiarity breeds contempt. It's easy for the adversary to push you off in something else. She does one thing wrong and then, it sticks with you. You know, it's like a fiery dart. It just sticks there. And you can begin to dilute the praise and the thankfulness and the joy and the blessing and your confession about that spouse. Don't allow that to happen. Because your confession of beliefs yields the receipt of your confession. There's another one. We've said it several times, heard it several times. But you see, if I have altered the way that I think about her, then I will alter the way that I believe her. And if I alter the way that I believe about her, I will change our life, and it won't be for the good, because I'm deluding. When she came as concentrate, the full package, and I allowed it to be diluted in my mind, and I know it's worked the other way too, where I have things that I have said have allowed that confession she had get diluted in regard to me. And if I confess the negative, where is that negative going to go? It's going to go to my heart. And if it goes to my heart, what's it going to affect? my believing. And if it affects my believing, you know what it's going to affect? Our lives. These are truths we know so surely, but we act as if we're unaware of them because we don't rise to the defense of the of that which is virtuous, that the scriptures tell us is virtuous, and maintain that. Because when God said, it is not good for the man that he should be alone, and so he made him a helpmeet, he never wanted that to be diluted. And I allowed it to be diluted, and then it affects our lives. So then, you know, but there's always recovery with God. You can always, you know, you can always get it back. And don't listen to the world that it'll never be as good as it once was, though. It'll be better. Because God never shrinks. God is always, the concepts, the blessings of God continue to grow. You know, I went through some negative points in our relationship, but spiritually things just kept moving and I can catch up to it. You know, it just kept moving and I'm not seeing it because I stopped believing it. But I can catch up to it and it'll be greater. See, I believe our God is so mighty, so powerful, and I'm thinking about tomorrow because I've asked Gil to share a particular incident in the Word that to me is so, it's a knockout. It's just an absolute knockout because God just worked in a situation that nobody would have had any idea that the outcome would have been the way it was. We say God is limited by our believing, but that's not really true. We're limited by our believing. The truth is, I limit myself with my unbelief. God just keeps going. You know, when it came time for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born, he didn't say, oh, I got to wait until somebody's going to believe. You know, I mean, Mary had to, but nobody, it just doesn't seem like anybody else did. And God moved. And look at the blessing to mankind, all the world, in the history of the world, with the birth of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, some people were just not blessed to be able to see it because they just never believed it. The scripture still says, husbands, love your wives. And the word love is agape, and it's unconditional. And you say, I love her, but no. Because you don't have the right to define the word love. God does. You have the right to experience it. You have no right to define it. That's his word. See? You have no right to change the definitions of God's word. You know, that's what the world does. You know, homosexuals can get married. If that's what you want to call it, but you know what? you have defined it so crappy. You have defined what God designed with such an elegance, such a magnificence, such a beauty, such an awesomeness, words will never describe it. And I'm sorry you won't be able to feel it. You can call it what, you know, you can call it the same thing I call it, but you will never experience what I have found God has provided in that relationship. I feel badly for you. But see, the Bible says that men were drawn away with their lust. See, and you have confused that with marriage. Men with men working that which is unseemly. It's called lust. You have decided, no, let's call it love. People can love whoever they want. That's the line they give you now. No, God says they're not there for love. They're there for lust. You just don't know language. We need to provide you with a dictionary or something, you know. Let the wife see that she reverend her husband, which is respect, unconditional. Unconditional. And I believe, and I'm sure you do, that God knows exactly what he's talking about. And until you, like Gil said, until he tries it, till he proves it, he's never going, there's no argument. Because you want to argue about something, neither one of us can actually find the full words for it. I can say love, and you're thinking in your mind, lust, but you're calling it love. So how in the world are we ever going to have a debate? We don't even speak the same language. How can we debate any of these things? So what you need to, you know, like him, what he needs to do is just get out there and debate the author. And see how far he goes. You know, it's a, but in, I know in relationships you let things go and you say, well, it's gone on for so long and so forth. But God can still recover it, and God can recover you, and God can reinstill those spiritual emotions, can reinstill and expand on those feelings that you once had. God can expand it far greater than you can ever imagine. There is always, always a solution with God. I had some other things, you know, I was thinking with work, you know, you're at a job and you don't like it and my boss won't listen to me. And I thought, let's go to Colossians 3:23. See, this is not the power of positive thinking. This is children listening to their father God, who is always right. And always advises his children appropriately, abundantly, and graciously. And you know what? Well, let's look at Colossians. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. The word do is the word work. So whatsoever you work, work heartily as to, and not unto. Yeah. See, I think you got confused as to who exactly your boss is. The one that's not listening to you is not the one that you're supposed to listen to. See? He hears your every complaint. Do you hear his solutions? Is the question. See, every aspect of life, relationships, work, all these different things that we are involved in, all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. And we'll get into that. You know, God does not have one negative thing to say about you. I know people have all these complaints and negatives to say about God, but he's not that way concerning us. Look at Jeremiah 29, and we'll go and take a break in a couple of minutes here. My wife took all my time. And she graciously gave it back to me. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you want that end? Because his expectation is loaded with greatness. And that's for you. See, I realized I was a terrible nutritionist. I used to eat fear. I used to dine on defeat like an ice cream sundae. You know? As a matter of fact, in some ways, I made my terrible life cool to talk about. And you know, somebody would tell me their story, and I'd say, yeah, well, listen to this, you know, and all the while, my confessions just kept pushing me deeper and deeper in the reality of the defeat. Talking with somebody about being defeated was one thing. Living defeated was quite another, and that's what I was doing. I was living the defeat. Well, Jesus Christ came, and he declared God, and he made known God unto me through the greatness of the word. And when I read scriptures, that his thoughts toward me are not negative, but his thoughts toward me are that I might have an expected end. And that expected end is you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You see, sometimes in life, things are a little bit different than you expect. I was thinking in regard to sickness, as a point in health. We still give more credence to the way that we feel than what we know. You know, my arm hurts. I better get my arm checked because I feel it rather than what I know. It is life to all my flesh. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. We still give credence to the way we feel. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you never see a doctor, or that's not the point. But I'm thinking that we give more credence to the way we feel than we do to the truth that we know. Some of you have had situations where you've had to be rehabbed. You know, thinking of a believer that recently just had hip surgery. And it's going to hurt. I know it's going to hurt. She had her hip replaced. But you know what they're going to tell her? Get up out of that bed. We got to go to rehab. You know, we're going to start you on rehab tomorrow morning. You're going to rehab. And, oh, it hurts, and I don't want to step on it because I'm afraid it's not going to fall off. It's not going to break. It was broken. We put it back together. This is what's going but you're going to have to do the rehab. But it hurts, and I don't want to make it worse. You won't make it worse, but if you don't go to rehab, you will make it worse. So now go to rehab. And they talk those people through their pain. And they go on to where they have no more pain and they're walking around just perfectly. Or they've learned to walk in it. I think sometimes in situations in life, we may still have pain, but we cannot allow that pain to go beyond the truth we know. The truth has to have more credence for our lives. So we're going to share a little bit more of we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll get into a few more things. All right? Bless your hearts.